Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Roman Show on this April 10th. I'm back at it again. Last week, I apologize. I was a little under the weather, but I'm a lot better now. Thank goodness for that, because it was horrible. Let me just put it this way. I did the show, and right after, I was shivering, flu the whole nine yards. But I'm back. I'm good to go. I got my honey. I got my tea. And it's time to rock and roll as we welcome tonight UFC veteran Yoslandi Izquierdo. Also, Shamar Bailey, UFC veteran, Strikeforce veteran, Bellator veteran, who fights on the XFC 23 show April 19th. Mike King, who is scheduled to fight on CFA May 24th. Jason Ellis will be calling in to speak on behalf of his client, Division Ribeiro, who is from Brazil. So he'll be out there. Jason will explain to us as far as how he is preparing for his fight coming up against Zach Underwood, which we had last week here in the show. And lastly, the newly crowned Barb Hancock, who defeated her opponent this past week over at the Invicta FC. She defeated Vanessa Porto to become the first ever 125-pound champion for Invicta FC. This and a whole lot more. We got lots to talk about tonight, including an amateur mixed martial artist who lost his life in Michigan, plus the controversy behind Fallon Fox, Matt Mitrione stating some comments. The UFC suspended him. Ronda Rousey also putting in her two cents about the whole Fallon Fox issue. And we'll talk about this weekend's The Ultimate Fighter finale. So we got that and much more. Follow the action, guys, on our Twitter account, Roman Show. That's at RomanDH. Or like us on our Facebook fan page. That's facebook.com/RomanShowMedia. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to another edition of The Roman Show with your host, Rodolfo Roman. Now Mikey Ruckus, praying down hellfire and brimstone.
I consider the beast, I consider the pound. He considers the people when he considers the crowd. Ain't nothing to it because we all go through it. It's the start of The Roman Show, let's go through it. Come on, we five shots as you lick at your chops. The straight to the top, the moment that the solar will drop.
Yeah,
got it on lock and tied to the knot. We got the industry crossover like it or not.
Keep rocking.
You haven't been on, you haven't been heard. From Miami up to Detroit, 3 1/3. East Coast, West Coast, yeah, we going to curve. With a red carpet news break shocking the world. Come on, ride, coming on The Roman Show. Coming back to attack the world.
From The Roman Show. Are you tired of listening to Roman and the other guys? Well, listen to me as I keep you up to date on the latest happenings in the world of entertainment. Check me out every Tuesday. Did you miss last week's show? Stream the show on your smartphone device from anywhere on the planet. The Roman Show is now on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. Download the different apps and stay informed with The Roman Show. Hey, you. Yeah, you. I want you to keep listening to The Roman Show. And you don't want to disappoint me, do you?
Hey, what's up? This is Brett the Grim Rogers listening to The Roman Show.
We'll be right back.
starting off today's show with a little Kill Switch Engage. WWE superstar CM Punk's former theme song. CM Punk represented the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu during WrestleMania 29 as he walked into the ring wearing a Gracie Jiu-Jitsu jacket or sweatshirt. So that's real neat on behalf of CM Punk, who actually trains at the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. He's a big fan of the UFC and at one point wanted Chael Sonnen to walk in with him. I think it was vice versa. CM Punk Chael Sonnen wanted to walk with CM Punk to a match, but that never happened. All right, on the other side, ladies and gentlemen, Guillermo Garcia, the MMA Encyclopedia. What's up, Guillermo?
Not much, man. I was pleased with the UFC show we had this past Saturday, and really looking forward to the Ultimate Fighter finale with Uriah Hall, man. He's looked like a monster out there. We got Uriah Faber, coincidentally, also going to be on there, too.
Yeah. Uriah Faber said it himself. It's the first show that he knows of or that we know of that there's going to be two Uriahs on the same card. And ironically enough, they're back-to-back because the Uriah Hall, I believe, is the co-main event. And then the main event is Uriah Faber versus Scott Jorgensen. So that's pretty neat. With that said, though, we got lots to talk about tonight here, Guillermo. There's a lot of talk with the whole Fallon Fox. I'll be honest. At a personal level, I am up to here already. But we have to discuss it, because it led to a suspension of Matt Mitrione. But we're going to discuss that a little later tonight, as we're going to be calling right now Yoslandi Izquierdo, who will be fighting in Fort Lauderdale April 26th. He makes his return to the cage. Now, this is the first time, or actually the second time, that we get to do a little translation here because he only speaks Spanish. Aló, Yoslandi.
Dímelo, aquí estoy.
¿Cómo estamos, Yoslandi? ¿Rodolfo, todo bien?
Bien, bien, todo gracias a Dios.
Bueno, un placer tenerte aquí en el programa. Estás con Guillermo y yo mismo. Vamos a hacerlo como la última vez. Te vamos a hacer las preguntas en español y después yo lo voy a interpretar en inglés. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're welcoming Yoslandi Izquierdo right here on The Roman Show. Yoslandi, un placer tenerte aquí, como te dije. Primeramente, peleaste, tuviste un par de tiempo fuera de la jaula. You were a little bit away from the cage. ¿Y por qué ahora regresar aquí? ¿Por qué tanto tiempo? Why so much time away from the cage?
Bueno, muchas gracias por invitarme al show. Me quise dar un tiempo para prepararme bien, para limar bien la falta de conocimiento sobre lo que era el jiu-jitsu, el piso y eso. Y quise darme un tiempecito para prepararme mejor.
Okay, he says that he took some time off to get ready and prepare himself underground for jiu-jitsu. Sí, porque eso fue una de las cosas que viste que te afectaba mucho cuando fuiste al UFC. Was that some of the reasons you would say that affected you in the UFC?
Sí, correcto. Eso fue lo que más, donde más tuve problemas. Ustedes vieron el strike en medio que lució bien ahí, en las dos peleas. Pero realmente había un gran nivel de wrestling y de jiu-jitsu en el UFC. Por eso fue que perdí esa pelea.
Okay, he said that his striking, he's always been confident, but there was a whole different level of jiu-jitsu and wrestling, and that is something that he needed to work on, and he did on this time off. Now, ahora que regresas aquí al sur de la Florida, bueno, tu primera pelea en el UFC fue afuera de los Estados Unidos y después regresaste aquí a los Estados Unidos a pelear en Las Vegas. Pero dime, ¿crees tú que está en ese momento cuando te dieron el contrato, te adelantaste mucho para ir al UFC o cogiste la oportunidad porque ahí estaba, tenías que cogerlo? Do you think it was too a little ahead of the UFC to go into the UFC? Were you ready?
Bueno, realmente era un peleador nuevo. Tenía 6 peleas nada más, pero yo siempre estaba confiante en mí, siempre he tenido confianza en mí. También hay peleadores que yo decía que están más perdidos que una yuca, pero son buenos en una cosa, es la verdad. Y yo me sentía confiante, lo que nada, cualquiera tiene un error. La primera en Sweden me tapearon por un error que cometí, y esta perdí por decisión porque no pude levantar más el peso.
Okay, he says that just like him, you know, there were. Have you seen some other fighters in the UFC that are lost, that that don't know what they're doing, but it was just an error, and he learned from it, and, you know, his last fight was lost by decision. Bueno, ahora regresas al sur de la Florida, vas a pelear en la cartelera de Fight Type Promotions. Pregunta, ya que tuviste esta experiencia en el UFC, ¿por qué decidiste regresar aquí al sur de la Florida habiendo tantas promociones en los Estados Unidos? Why did you decide to fight for Fight Type Promotions knowing that there are so many other promotions out there?
Bueno, pienso que quise darme un tiempo y empezar de cero otra vez. Y para comenzar, para mí, Fight Type Promotion fue la mejor opción. Ellos me han tratado muy bien a mí. Básicamente me han hecho sentir como de la familia y pienso que eso es un buen comienzo para volver a reiniciar mi carrera para volver a levantar de nuevo.
Okay, he says that Fight Time Promotions feel that they have treated him as part of a family, and he sees that this is a way of bringing new life to his career and getting himself right there on his name on the map. Bueno, estás ahorita entrenando todavía en el American Top Team. You're still training in American Top Team, ¿correcto?
Sí, correcto.
Y bueno, cuéntame, ¿contra quién vas a pelear? Porque todavía no he visto ahí un nombre del oponente tuyo. Who's going to be your opponent? Because we haven't really quite seen any names.
Sí, mi oponente se llama Paulo Silva, el muchacho brasileño. Su récord es 3-3. Tiene un buen background de jiu-jitsu y tiene striking también.
All right, he's fighting Pablo Silva, has a decent record, he's from Brazil, and he has good jiu-jitsu. O sea que esto definitivamente te va a decir que cómo has entrenado en la parte de jiu-jitsu. This is going to be kind of a way to test yourself on how you've been working at the jiu-jitsu.
Sí, correcto. Pienso que es un buen matching para comenzar después de casi 9 meses de estar fuera de la jaula. Creo que va a ser una buena pelea.
Okay, he thinks that, it's going to test himself after being away from the cage for 9 months. And he thinks it's going to be a good fight. Guillermo?
Sí, Oswaldo, cuéntame del soporte que cogiste de tus fanáticos durante de tu tiempo en la UFC.
¿Y cómo está, Guillermo? Bueno,
todo bien, todo bien.
Los fanáticos siempre les estoy agradecido porque aunque haya perdido 2 peleas, ellos saben muy bien que fui contra dos oponentes bien duros, que tenían un buen nivel, un buen récord, que no peleé con ningún muerto. Y además de eso, hice un gran espectáculo, un show bueno. Y a pesar de que perdí, ellos siempre han estado ahí apoyándome por el Facebook, por Twitter. Y nada, a ellos les debo todo, les dedico mis peleas siempre. Y por ellos y por mi familia es que estoy en este mundo.
Guillermo asked a question as far as the support he received before going to the UFC. He said that they've always been there hitting him up on Facebook and on Twitter. Guillermo?
Sí, Osvaldo, ¿y qué objetivos tiene aquí en el futuro para tu carrera? ¿Y qué crees que todavía es posible?
Bueno, soy un peleador joven. Tengo mucho por aprender. Mi nivel está subiendo día por día. Y mis aspiraciones es volver a las grandes ligas. Volver a las grandes ligas porque mi mente está abierta para llegar ahí. No, eso que yo todavía tengo un buen futuro.
Okay, so Guillermo asked him what are his objectives and his goals, and he says that he's still a young fighter and he wants to return back to the big leagues. Guillermo?
Sí, yo, Juani, para tu primera pelea en la UFC, tenía que ir a Suecia. ¿Y hiciste algo especial? ¿Viajaste un poquito cuando fuiste ahí?
No, realmente, en mi caso, a ver que he hecho estos viajes, yo siempre he ido bien concentrado en lo que es mi pelea. Y una vez ya terminado tu pelea, el otro día en la mañana ya tienes que retirarte del país. No. Bueno, lo que visité era localmente ahí cerca del establecimiento donde estaba.
Okay.
Pero
Guillermo,
fue un país muy muy bueno, muy bonito, pues las personas sumamente agradables, fue una bonita experiencia.
Que Guillermo basically asked him if when he traveled out of the States, if he had a chance to check out the area. He said he was focused and he didn't have a chance to really check it out, but where he was, it was a very nice place. Guillermo?
Ah, eso todo. Quiero verte otra vez para verte ganar esta vez, porque ya hace que, como un año que ganaste. Yo quiero verte ganar para Cuba, tú sabes. Ya, porque yo soy cubano también, yo quiero verte ganar. Gracias, Yoslandi.
Gracias, hermano. Y nada, créeme que voy a tratar de dar lo mejor de mí, y esta vez vengo con mucha más experiencia, mucha más calma, y vamos a hacer bien su mejor.
Okay, he said that Guillermo wished him very luck, that he wants him to get a win for the Cubans, and Yoslandi said that he's coming back stronger and better. Yoslandi, durante este momento que estuviste fuera de la jaula, ¿cómo tú pudiste, o sea, tener esa inspiración? ¿Cómo pudiste regresar y decir, bueno, Yoslandi, aquí estoy yo, y soy un peleador y voy a ser mejor y aprender de los errores míos? How did you become a better fighter during that time off?
Bueno, hermano, como todo ser humano hemos tenido nuestras recaídas, pero yo siempre miro para atrás y digo que a este país yo vine sin nada. Y pienso en mi familia, primero que todo. Y nada, siempre que un hombre se cae, tiene que levantarse.
Well, he basically said that he said his inspiration is his family, and he came to this country with nothing, and every man falls, but he gets back up. Pero algo, aparte de tu familia, algo que has usado para ayudarte de tu inspiración, sea religión o gente que te ha motivado.
Bueno, mi familia me da motivación, Dios me da motivación. Porque sin Dios no se puede llegar a nada, tú sabes, todo se lo dejo en las manos de él, y lo que me queda a mí es entrenar bien duro.
Yeah, he does say that his family motivates him and God motivates him, it's what gets him out there to train hard every single day. Bueno, Yoslandi, si quiere decir una cosa más para los latinos que nos escuchan y todo el mundo que lo escucha a través aquí en el programa.
Pues nada, quedan ya 16 días. Abril 26, en el War Memorial Auditorio, en Fort Lauderdale. Ya saben, quien quiera ir a ver las peleas en vivo, puede llegarse ahí. Estamos cerca aquí en Miami. Y nada, pueden seguirme en Twitter y en Facebook. Y muchas gracias a ustedes por invitarme al show.
Gracias a ti, Yoslandi. Y te agradecemos y buena suerte. Yo sé que vas a representar muy bien ahí en abril 26 en Fort Lauderdale.
Seguro que sí, mi hermano, seguro que sí. Ya solamente quedan unos días para terminar ya.
Así es. Gracias, Yoslandi. Suerte, saludos y bendiciones.
Bueno, hermano, que pase una buena noche.
Igual. Saludos. Bye-bye.
Bueno, bye-bye.
All right, there you heard it. He says that to look forward. It's just a few days left for him to get back inside the cage. He's ready to go. Yoslandi Izquierdo getting his career back on track after those two losses in the UFC. And you know, Guillermo, coming out of two losses from the UFC, knowing that you are at the Mecca, for your mind, it's something hard to overcome, but he seems very high-spirited. He seems that he's going to get back inside the cage, get a couple of wins, and possibly get back inside the octagon.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that, you know, hundreds of fighters have been through that have gone to the UFC and not succeeded in their first couple bouts. This happens actually all the time. And, you know, there's two types of fighters, man. The guys who just fall apart after that and don't end up doing anything ever. And then there's the guys who get back on the bike and get four or five wins in a row and get back into the UFC. So I'm very curious to see how Yoslandi does, because there were some glaring holes in his game during the UFC. I mean, his ground game was really suspect. And
yeah.
he's got to get that cleared up because, you know, he's got to get it cleared up quickly, because I believe he's already, what, like 29 or something like that?
Yeah.
He started off very late for the sport. So if he doesn't make a quick correction, like, I'm really worried about his future in the sport.
Well, that's one thing, though, as far as starting late. You know, he started a little late. So, good example, Randy Couture, he started late in his career. He lasted longer. So don't rule that out.
But I mean, it's the backgrounds that really matter, because wrestling is the best background for MMA, and that's what Randy had. And Randy started back way back in the day where there wasn't a lot of guys that had actual real skill or even a combination of different, mixed martial arts. So, yeah, Yoslandi, from what I understand, comes back from a striking background, not even a jiu-jitsu or wrestling background. So that's really, really tough, especially when you start late. If he was one of these Cuban guys who, you know, has a wrestling or boxing background or both combined, then I feel good about it. But, like, if it's just boxing, that's not very good for the sport.
Well, hopefully Yoslandi could bounce back, learn some more of that jiu-jitsu and wrestling. Well, he trains an American top team with the likes of Alexis Vila, who competed in the Olympics. So I think he's in good hands. I'm pretty sure we'll see a different type of fighter come April 26th when he gets inside the cage in Fort Lauderdale. Sorry about that. I'm telling you, man, this cold is just hitting everyone here, man. Everyone's just getting sick.
I wish the Marlins had that kind of excuse, man. They just stink, bro.
I wish they were just sick
and they'd be better next week, but unfortunately that's not the case.
I know we're talking MMA today, but we have to, at least for 2 minutes, talk about the Miami Marlins, how as far as attendance, as far as the team, if we were to just to sum it up in one word, Guillermo, I think it's safe to say sucks. That pretty much just sums it up. Because
we were talking about First Amendment rights earlier today between you and me with the whole Matt Mitrione thing. You read that? I don't know if you probably did read that article about those fans who got kicked out of the stadium for holding up a sign that said, like, Jeffrey Loria sucks, we need a new owner. They kicked them out for that. That's First Amendment rights right there. And they didn't make a fight. They weren't yelling. They weren't starting trouble. They're just holding up signs and wearing T-shirts that they want new ownership and they want better for the team, and they got kicked out. It's all bad, man. It's not good at all.
Yeah, there's a couple of protesters at the stadium. I also saw a shirt that I thought it was a great shirt. It said something about, you know, Miami Marlins, farm system, feeding your champion team since 1998, because that's what it seems like. We get all these young
studs. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, we get these young studs. They're awesome. And then after 2-3 years, when their money and when their salary should increase because they're good talent, we ship them off, just like we sent them to Toronto, just like we sent them to different teams
awesome.
When we went in 2003. Back in in 97?
We sent Mike Lowe and Josh Beckett to Boston, and then they started winning titles. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Then,
we sent Gary Sheffield to the Yankees, and he was winning titles. You know, all these guys, man, it's just frustrating.
It's a farm system. It's a farm system. You know, Jeffrey Loria, at the end of the day, he got a stadium. He still has a team. The team is now valued at a higher price than when he purchased it. So I think this guy is just going to have it for a couple of more, you know, maybe 2-3 seasons, sell it. And I don't know what to expect after that. But I did read somewhere that former governor, Florida governor, Jeb Bush, wanted to purchase the Miami Marlins from Jeffrey Loria. And Loria stated to him that, no, it's not on sale. You know, I would have rather have Bush, although his brother, George W. Bush, who was our president, was an owner or co-owner of the Texas Rangers, which he didn't do a good job. But needless to say, what difference does it make if Jeffrey Loria sucks as an owner in the first place? So why not take a chance with Jeb Bush?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just really, really frustrated with Loria. He made all these promises. You give me a stadium and I'll put on a competitive team for years to come. And he fakes us out for 1 year hiring these players. And before that year's over, he's already starting to get rid of them. And he gets rid of the rest of them by the offseason. And now he's got a stadium that we paid for that he's profiting from. I mean, we're still paying for it. We're going to be paying for it for the next 30 years out of our taxes. It's disgraceful.
It's very upsetting. But at the end of the day, they're the ones with the bucks. I just hope something happens. I know that they even expected that it's going to probably be the lowest attendance in Major League Baseball this season.
I'm wondering if they're going to set the losses record for a season. I think it's like 120 or 122 losses in a season. That's the worst ever. I think they have a challenge for that, man. I really do.
Well, I don't think they're going to go that bad, but they won't be good neither. But, you know, never be surprised, because that's one thing about baseball. In baseball, it doesn't matter sometimes the names. What matters is the team that you have. And let's take a look back at the Oakland A's earlier late last decade it was, when they got all these bunch of nobodies and they started winning. They had, I think, a 22-21 winning streak with guys no one even knew who the heck they were.
I've looked at the first eight games this year, and the level of play that we're putting on the field is just terrible. I mean, like two hits a game, yesterday. We had a situation where they're trying to bunt the guy over in the ninth inning, and the guy bunts it, pops it up in the air, and we get a double play, which is the worst thing that could happen. I mean, like, it's just not good, man. I mean, they're saying these players are going to be good in 3 or 4 years, but I mean, the fans have been told that for what, the last 5 years? I don't think anything's going to change.
It's the same old song and dance. All right, let's go to a quick break. We'll be right back with more on the Roman Show with Shamar, who will be fighting at XFC 23 on Access TV April 19th. He fights Luis Santos. So Shamar Bailey, Bellator Strikeforce UFC veteran, here in the Roman Show. We'll be right back after this short commercial break.
When I train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop, or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue, Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport what the pros wear. All Out Fight Shop. Keep up with the world of The Roman Show by following us on Twitter at RomanVH. Or like our fan page on Facebook. Look up The Roman Show to win free prizes. Hun, turn it down. I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Heck no.
Why not?
Because I'm listening to The Roman Show.
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Thanks.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@Yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolphoRoman.com. That's RodolphoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolphoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. the official sponsor of the Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back here on the Roman Show, live back at it again. I just took a look, Guillermo, to the score of the Marlins. It's 7-1 in the middle of the eighth inning. It's pathetic, man. It really is. 7-1 I don't even know what it was.
7-0
But the whole point. Yeah,
7-0, man.
In the middle of the eighth. I'm going Friday for the first time in the season, and I'm going to have to wear my my paper bag. I think
this is going to be like the fourth or fifth time we get shut out in like 8 or 9 games.
Yeah, it sucks. We're worse than a team that just started off for the first time. I mean, we're worse than I don't even know. I don't even know what to say about this.
I'm thinking if you talk to Vegas or something, it's probably pretty really bad odds. Like we won't make much money if there's a no hitter against the Marlins this year. I bet you there's gonna be a no hitter against the Marlins this year. I mean, I would tell you maybe there's even gonna be two no hitters this year against the Marlins. That's how bad we are right now.
Yeah, that would stink. All we got right now is Stanton. That's all they got.
I would say it's better than 50% chance there will be at least one no hitter. Maybe even a perfect game against the Marlins. Oh, we've had a couple two hitters already. It's only been 8 games.
Horrible. Follow the action on Twitter, guys, at RomanDH. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/RomanShowMedia, as we are trying to get a hold right now of Shamar, who will be fighting at XFC 23. Shamar Bailey, who fights Luis Santos. Luis Santos has over 60 fights in mixed martial arts. That is a lot of fights, man. It really, truly is. No one could beat Dan Severn. He has 100 and something, right?
Oh, no. Dan Severn's nowhere near the top, though. Travis Fulton has the most fights and the most victories in MMA history. But that's because he's fought like 300 times or something like that.
That's great. How valuable do you think, if I have 300 fights and I fought, you know, bums, will you consider that a big time achievement compared to someone who doesn't have that amount of number of wins or fights, but you've beaten people or fighters that are at the top of the top?
Well, Travis Fulton, like, if you ever look up his record, I mean, it's a long record. He's been around like 15 years. Fought 300 times. He fights like every week, it seems, you know. But he's been around so long that he's fought a lot of the top names in the sport before they were top names, you know. So he didn't beat a lot of them, but he beat some of them. So he's got some quality wins, but the majority of his losses were to notable people before they were famous, you know. And every now and then he'll do a fight against somebody that's known, like after they're all washed up, you know what I mean? So he's an interesting guy. Hopefully one day we can get him on the show. But, it's pretty crazy because he's got, like, 200-some-odd wins and, like, 60 losses and, like, 8 ties, you know, 8 draws. It's absolutely ridiculous.
You know, I met a guy once who said he fights he tries to fight every week, literally. And the guy says he never gets hurt. He was young at the time, of course. I don't think you can pull that away anymore, but that's just crazy. Fight every single week. I know you're doing it for the money, but come on, man.
Yeah, well, you know, they don't pay very much at these regional shows sometimes. You'd be lucky to get $500 at some of them, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I can see why. I mean, especially, you know, most MMA fighters, even like the top-notch UFC guys that come in with 20 fights, a lot of their fights were in those first couple years of their career. And then they slow down after a couple years. You know, they're just trying to establish their name and get into the big show as quickly as they can.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to get a hold right now of Shamar Bailey on the line. But, of course, like always, our beloved Blog Talk Radio, its phone lines are failing. So let's go to a quick break. We'll be right back. We're going to get Shamar here on the line. And there he is. Thank you for that. All right, Shamar Bailey on the show. Thanks so much for calling in, Shamar. Apologize trying to reach you, but our phone lines here are acting up. Welcome, man. Thanks for joining us here this evening on The Roman Show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, Shamar, UFC Strikeforce Bellator veteran, and you're going to be fighting on Access TV April 19th in Kentucky. You know, we've been having fighters of XFC since, I guess earlier this year. And finally, the day comes next week, April 19th, and you can see all the action on Access TV. You're going to be fighting Luis Santos, a guy with a lengthy background there, Shamar. But again, you've had your fair share of experience. So how are you coming into this fight? Now, one thing, though, Santos is coming off a defeat.
Mm-hmm.
And you, on the other hand, are coming back to some wins. So, and he hasn't fought in quite some time since last May. Do you think that this ring rust could come into play into this fight?
No, you know, honestly, I don't think so. I think anytime you come off of two losses, like he is and I have before, you have two choices. You can either jump right back in there and try to get on a winning streak, or you can take some time and develop your skill set a little bit. And so, there's no telling what he's been working on, at his time off. And, we just got to expect the best version of Luis Santos on April 19th.
Yeah, he was actually scheduled to fight last year here in South Florida, but he has some issues with paperwork or whatnot. So I know that failed through. But now you're going to get a chance to fight Luis Santos, a guy who has over 60 fights. Looking at this record, Shamar, does this in any way mean anything to you, the fact that he has over 60 fights?
Not too much, man. I look at, the last few fights just for studying purposes and the names that come up. There's not a whole lot that you really are familiar with until the ones that he's lost to. He's beat a couple of decent fighters, and then he's lost to some decent fighters. So at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. I think one thing, you just know that he's going to be solid in every department. There's not going to be a whole lot I throw at him that he hasn't seen already. I just got to disguise it better if I'm going to score and hurt him with it.
And one thing about him, though, he has fought most of his career overseas in his hometown, home country of Brazil. But you are the main event of XFC 23, April 19th. You can watch that live on Access TV. And if you live in Kentucky, well, you can get your tickets. The event's going to be taking place in Kentucky International Convention Center. Guillermo?
Yeah, Shamar, you started off your career red hot, 11-1, and then you went through this tough stretch where you were 2-7, and you got a couple victories. Now, during that tough stretch, I mean, would you attribute that to just tougher competition, something personal going on? Was it a training issue? What happened during that stretch for you?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on. Every fighter goes through different changes, man. I changed gyms a couple of times, trainers. I broke up with my fiance. I mean, there's just a lot of things going on that people don't know about. I think the biggest thing for me was just finding out who I was as a fighter. You know, when you get on the bigger stage, there's a lot more pressure to be exciting and throw your hands and get knockouts and stuff. And it came a point where I just abandoned my base altogether and was focused totally on just on stand-up. And it's mixed martial arts, man. It's not just wrestling. It's not just boxing or Muay Thai or just jiu-jitsu. You got to do it all, man, and make. Unfortunately, things have been going really well these last couple of fights I've had, and just doing a better job of mixing it up and disguising what my intentions are.
Now, you were on The Ultimate Fighter, and, most guys that are on that show, they either really, really hated it, being, locked up in that house with nothing to do, or they really grew from it. I mean, what did you take from that, being on the show?
Yeah, man, I mean, obviously there's personalities that you don't gel with too much, but I think that's part of what they do intentionally anyway. But I was very thankful to have the opportunity. I know how many people tried out and didn't make it that probably deserved to be on the show. And so you got to be real thankful, and I was. And I learned a lot from the coaching staff and even the guys that I train with. And I also learned a lot about people in general, man. When you're put in the spotlight for however short or long period it is, you learn a lot about the people that are around you. So I wouldn't trade the learning experiences I had for anything.
Yeah, now, Shamar, you know, over your career, you've been kind of a journeyman. You fought for like 15, 16 different promotions, you know, over the course of your career. Do you hate the fact that you don't have any sort of stability with the people you're dealing with on the promotional side, or it doesn't bother you at all?
No, man, that's fine with me. I mean, to me, a fight to fight, it doesn't matter who it's underneath. Obviously, it would have been nice to get to the UFC and stay there. But at this point, I'm just enjoying the ride and enjoying competition. And so, yeah, I mean, until you brought it up, I haven't even really thought of it like that. So I'm content with fighting for whoever.
Yeah, now, when you're, you know, traveling around the regional scene like you've been doing, a lot of the time you hear from guys about, you know, fights falling apart and having trouble finding a fight for a period of time, but it doesn't seem like you've had that problem over your career. How is there somebody behind the scenes that helps you out with all that stuff?
You know, it's funny you say that, because actually I have had some issues with that. Just more than anything, it's just guys, you know, either pulling out of fights at the last minute. I had one promotion I fought for where three guys pulled out in 2 weeks, and this was not even 6 months ago. And then another promotion where the guy missed weight by over 14 pounds. Just things like that. And then he got mad at me saying that I'm a UFC vet, so I should be willing to fight him. You know, there's some crazy people out there that have some stupid reasoning. But in the midst of that, I put my ear to the ground. I like to stay busy, and fortunately, I've been able to find matchups here and there to keep working on my skills.
Yeah, I mean, bringing that up, I mean, you did fight six times in the last year, which is pretty phenomenal. You don't really see that often, especially from, you know, a UFC veteran type fighter. Usually you guys just fight two, three, four times at the most. Is that a pace that you want to continue fighting at six times a year, or you think you'll slow down from now on?
I think I'll slow down, man. I'm getting older, bro, so I got to learn to be a little smarter, a little bit more scientific with my training, and with that involves rest. You know, I've got a girlfriend that, you know, I got to spend time with as well. So all that changes, man. I was single, and I was just living for fighting and my job, and that was it. Now I got a lot of other things on the plate that I got to pay attention to.
Now, Shamar, knowing that you were the Ultimate Fighter, do you still watch the show?
I didn't really watch the last couple of shows, but this season I did. I have a friend, Bubba Menace, was on this season. And, of course, with John Jones and Chael Sonnen, there's going to be some entertainment with them. You know, I don't think anybody that watched this season was disappointed. So I kept up with the season for the most part.
And I'm sure you'll be seeing the next season, since they're going to have both men and women living in the same
man, I don't know. That might get a little too much real world-ish for me. So it just depends on which direction it goes. I'm glad that they're bringing women into it. You know, I think it's good for them, but it could get a little bit too crazy for me. So we'll see what happens.
Now, you have an interesting background, knowing the fact that you work alongside Chris Lytle in the Indianapolis Fire Department.
Yeah, that's correct, yes.
So how do you manage to be a firefighter and be a fighter at the same time? I know firefighter schedules, they differ. Sometimes you work 24-hour shifts. You can work 3 days in a row. But how do you work things out?
Man, it's just balance it. I mean, we really have no room to complain. Yeah, we work 24 hours, you know, and we could be up all night. You know, you get between 5-6 runs after midnight. That equals maybe an hour and a half of sleep. And then that makes it tough for recovery, and also to go into training hard the next day. But you can't complain, man, because then you got 48 hours off, and you can train like with a vengeance, man. I normally train between two or three times a day on my days off, and then we'll do some kind of conditioning or CrossFit at the firehouse when I'm at work. So it works out, man, and everybody that I work with and for are real supportive of what I'm trying to do here.
He said, as Guillermo asked the question, he said that there was a time that you were having some difficulty trying to find different gyms. You had an issue with past significant other. But did you ever think of possibly leaving your fire department, your job as a firefighter, to focus 100% on fighting? Did that ever run through your mind?
It had. I mean, I think I'm past that now. Especially when I started fighting for Strikeforce in the UFC. I mean, I've had some bigger gyms out west asked me to, you know, move out there. Even a couple that tried to set me up with some fire departments out there. But there's just, at the end of the day, man, you just hear about too many fighters that go out there and they do well, and then they lose two fights in a row in the UFC and they get cut, and then they just never come back from that, and now they have no job. And no, you know, look at, what's his name, Joe Stevenson. You know, he had a hard story that I've had a hard time reading about poverty. Diego Sanchez was kind of the same thing. There's a lot of guys out there, man, so I think at this point, you gotta be thankful for what you have and make it work. And if you can't make it work, then move on. So that's where I'm at.
And that's a very smart move on your end, man. Now, do you ever find yourself, you and Chris, sparring perhaps when times are slow in the fire department?
Yeah, I mean, we don't work at the same firehouse, but you know, there was a time, man, when there were no gyms in the area. You just too much drama and egos and stuff, and we were doing most of our training at the firehouse, so we'd be sparring and working on stuff at the firehouse, and that was where we're getting ready for some big fights. So it's kind of crazy to think about it, but yeah, you know what? I knew Chris. I was training with Chris before I got on the fire department, and he's one of the main guys that encouraged me to try out for it. So Chris has helped me a lot in my fighting career, and also just getting me started in a career, you know, as far as work is concerned, that I'm very thankful to have.
No, I have to ask you, man. Have they ever approached you for a fireman calendar by any chance? I just had to ask.
Oh, man.
And have you been a part of one?
If you look hard enough, you might find me in a calendar or two. I'm just going to throw that out there. I ain't going to tell you which one to look for, but yeah.
Well, what are the perks behind that, you know, being a firefighter and you landing in one of these calendars? Is it like a plus? And is there an ego behind all of this stuff inside the fire department? Like, you know, I look better than you, or, I mean, is there a challenge?
You know, I think it's a healthy challenge, yeah. I mean, there's some guys that, you're supposed to be in shape. Not everybody is, but you're supposed to be in shape, and it's good to be pushed, you know. You know, it's funny when you just run into the chicks, you know, in the city, and they're like, oh, you know, you're a Mr. I'm not going to say the month because I don't want to give it away. But you're Mr. whatever. And I forgot all about the calendar. You know what I mean? So we do it for a fundraiser here, for some charity organizations here in Indianapolis, and it helps raise money. And you know, of course, it's mostly women buying it. You know, I'm more comfortable with that anyway. But you know, it works out, man. It works out.
Well, that's always a plus if you're single, of course. Guillermo?
Exactly. I am not anymore. I was at the time, but not anymore.
Guillermo?
Yeah, well, you know, like you said, Shamar, you're starting to get up there. You know, you're up 30 years old now. Do you know how much longer you want to do this? And what goals have you set for yourself here for the rest of your career? Is it to get back to the UFC, to just stay healthy and win as much as you can? What are your goals here?
Yeah, just stay healthy, win as much as I can. Obviously, I want to get back in the UFC. That's my main goal. You know, when they cut me, they said I had actually cut down to 155 for a couple fights, and it just wasn't working out. So I said, get a few wins at 170. So that's what I'm trying to do. And I said, basically it, man. You know, obviously you can't overlook this fight right here. This is a tough one. But I feel like I came back from the dead, so to speak, man, like Lazarus in the Bible. You know, I lost two fights in a row, one to somebody nobody's even heard of. And people are like, oh, you know, your career's over. And I didn't listen to them. I just trusted God, kept training. And here we are fighting a main event on national television. So I thank God for that and this opportunity. And, you know, as long as you do what you're supposed to do, you just let God do the rest. That's how I look at it.
Awesome. Well, Shamar, thank you so very much for joining us here this evening on The Roman Show. Shamar Bailey faces Luis Santos April 19th, Access TV, live from Kentucky, XFC 23. Shamar, anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, real quick, there's a young man here in Indianapolis. He's a fourth grader. He is struggling with cancer, and he's going to be my special guest at the fights. They're going to do a highlighting story on him, and we're trying to raise money. He's actually doing his chemo treatments in Louisville, which is crazy. So they're going to highlight his story on Access TV. Just make sure you watch so you can learn how to donate to his cancer treatments and help him win. This fight against cancer. He's a great guy.
Can we give away the website, though, prior to airing here so we can let our folks know?
Was that now? Can you go to my website? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I mean, if they can find information, I know
I'm sorry. If you go to my Twitter page, I've got all kinds of information on there, at Shamar Bailey. My website, shamarbailey.com, Facebook page, there's all kinds of stuff on there. And then, again, they'll put the information across the screen that night, the fight of the fight.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much, and good job on your end and XFC helping out this poor boy as it's affecting several here in the United States and across the world. So good hearts on behind you guys are doing out there. Good effort. Thank you so much for joining us here, Shamar, and we'll make sure to put out the word so we can help this young boy.
I appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Have a good night, my man. Thank you so much, and good luck on April 19th. Thank you. Have a good night.
I appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Uh-huh. Well, Guillermo, do you want to have a calendar, Roman Show calendar? You think you'd be up for it?
If I'm in it, I don't think anybody's going to buy it, bro.
Hey, I'm in shape. I could get away with it.
You're not in the shape you used to be in. You're not in the shape that you used to be in.
You give me a month, and I'll bet you I'll be better than the shape that I was. I guarantee you.
I don't know, man. I don't know. You're getting older.
That's on the head. Speaking about weight, I'm sure you heard the news that Hector Lombard is contemplating on moving on to the welterweight. You know, I remember interviewing Hector Lombard. He's a good friend of ours. He said that, nah, I can't. People have told me that, but I can't. And it's true. If you look at Hector Lombard, the guy is a stocky dude. He's not a tall dude, but he's very stocky. He's a muscular guy. And barely does he make his weight right now for middleweight. So to go down to welterweight, it's going to be a challenge. He already actually hired. He's going to be working with Mike Doach as far as nutrition regimen. But do you think this is a good move for Lombard, and will he be a force to be reckoned with, and possibly, if at the time GSP still has the belt, could we see this guy going up against a GSP?
I've heard, I read the articles and I've heard interviews about this subject recently, the last couple of days, and it's something that he's trying out, but he doesn't sound particularly optimistic that he's going to be able to do it. And he's just doing it to show the UFC, look, I tried and it didn't work. And I don't think he actually believes he's going to make it. But he hired the best guy he can because, the UFC is probably pressuring him. They're paying him so much money, and they want him to succeed for all that money that they're paying him. So he's got to at least try. He's got to prove to the UFC, look, I tried and I couldn't make it. Because the only way I see him making that weight is if he loses muscle, to be honest with you. I don't know how good that would be for his career either. And it's not going to be good either if he's freaking exhausted from cutting weight. So I don't know how this is going to work out. I hope he can make it for the sake of his career with the UFC. Because if he can't make it, and if he loses one more time in middleweight, in the next couple fights, I think he's going to be gone. To extend his UFC career, he needs to make the welterweight division and then hopefully win when he's there.
Yeah, he's a big, stocky dude. He said that it's impossible. He told me it's impossible, but he is giving it a shot, like you said. So we'll see, hopefully.
The UFC is paying him so much money. He's got to do something. I think he's proven that he's not going to win consistently in the middleweight division. I think he's proven that now. He's made excuses that he had this injury or that injury, but he did not look good against Yushin Okami at all. And if it's a fact that he's getting outsized by bigger guys and out-muscled by bigger guys, then fine. But that excuse goes out the window once you go down to 170. We'll see what happens.
We will see what happens. Let's go to a quick break. We're going to reach out right now to Mike King, who will be fighting at CFA. The card is still tentative. They're working on it. We're not really quite sure who he's fighting, but I do know that he will be fighting on that fight card. Mike King was undefeated at 5-0, and he will be competing, as I stated, on CFA May 24 here in Coral Gables, Florida, where Fallon Fox is also scheduled to compete. And Fallon Fox actually received the thumbs up from the Florida Boxing Commission, and she will be competing at that show against Alana Jones, which we had here on the program last week. All right, we'll be right back after the short commercial break.
Keep listening to The Roman Show. Thanks, girl. Chicago.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@Yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolphoRoman.com. That's RodolphoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolphoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. The official sponsor of The Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com. Well, the Miami Heat, Guillermo, have set a franchise record. They now have won 62, the first time in franchise history that they have won that amount of games in a season. And mind you, they're doing it with the guys from the bench.
Did they play tonight? They did, right?
Yeah, they played tonight against the Wizards. And, you know, the bench guys are basically winning. It's not even the...
Was it a close game tonight? I didn't see it. I didn't even know it was on.
No. It was actually a pretty lengthy score. 103 to... 93, I think it was. Like 10 points, 11 points. So, they had it pretty much down the line. The Miami Heat, which I think we'll be celebrating another... you weren't here last time when we celebrated. You were in Australia.
Oh, when you guys won the title, or when we won the title. Yeah, I was in Australia at the time. And actually, I was in... where the heck was I? I was out of the country as well. I was in Peru when we lost against the Mavericks. So,
yep.
I haven't been around. You know, I wish I would have been. But I'll be around this time.
Yeah, you won't miss it. Well, we'll be going to be talking more. Let's go to a quick commercial break again. We'll be back with more here on The Roman Show.
When I train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue, Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport what the pros wear. All Out Fight Shop. Keep up with the world of The Roman Show by following us on Twitter at RomanDH or like our fan page on Facebook. Look up The Roman Show to win free prizes. Hun, turn it down. I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Heck no.
Why not?
Because I'm listening to The Roman Show.
Hey, this is Nellie from The Roman Show. Are you tired of listening to Roman and the other guys? Well, listen to me as I keep you up to date on the latest happenings in the world of entertainment. Check me out every Tuesday. Did you miss last week's show? Stream the show on your smartphone device from anywhere on the planet. The Roman Show is now on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. Download the different apps and stay informed with The Roman Show. Hey, you. Yeah, you. I want you to keep listening to The Roman Show. And you don't want to disappoint me, do you?
Hey, this is Jacob Sisteran here. And if you guys really want to listen to the good talk, listen to The Roman Show.
For Florida MMA news and events, there's only one place to get your info from, MMAtothemax.net. From where to see the big fight to where's the next major event can all be found on the Sunshine State's number one source for MMA and grappling events, MMAtothemax.net. Don't click anywhere else and pump up the volume. You're listening to The Roman Show.
Mike King, but I understand that Mike King was training, so I'm not sure if we're going to have him here tonight. But that being said, we'll try to get him here before the end of the night. We're still also anticipating Jason Ellis, who will be speaking on behalf of his client, Yvesandra Bero, who fights on XFC 23. I'm hoping I pronounced these names correctly, Guillermo, because I've been learning some Portuguese on Rosetta Stone. So I'm hoping that from here on out, we'll be able to pronounce these names quite well. In fact, we might be in, even have, I'll be able to translate from Portuguese to English. How about them apples?
Yeah, but you know, when it comes to natural born speakers of the language, you speak so quickly that it's going to be hard for you to translate, man. It's going to be hard. You're going to have to know the language pretty well.
Hey, man, I did it for Spanish. I could do it for Portuguese. It's just a matter of practice.
Yeah, but you were born, that Spanish is your first language. That's different, man.
It doesn't matter. I
studied French for 6 years, and I went to France right after. I studied French for 6 years, and I was lost, man. I was lost, and I studied that for six straight years in school.
I think it's doable. All right, let's talk about this Fallon and Fox thing. I'm up to here, but I have to mention it because it just doesn't go away. So Matt Mitrione gets on the MMA Hour. He starts name dropping Fallon Fox. Should, you know, call her a sociopath and a sick person, a sicko, and blah blah blah. UFC says, you know what? We can't allow that type of conduct. You have to read our rules. So they suspended him. As of to this day, I have no. There hasn't been really how long the suspension is going to be. Now, they interviewed UFC champion Ronda Rousey today. And by the way, Fallon Fox did reply, and she said something as far as, you know, she was disgusted by the words of Matt Mitrione. So Ronda Rousey's talking today, and she's talking about how she feels about this in the New York Post. And and I'm quoting this from this article on the Post. It says, she can try hormones, chop her pecker off, but it's still the same bone structure a man has. It's an advantage. I don't think it's fair. This is what Ronda Rousey is saying now. I understand the UFC doesn't want to be associated with views like Mitrione's. I am so glad. I am also glad they didn't straight cut him. Now, they asked her, Ronda Rousey, the champion, if she would fight Fallon Fox. She said, well, what if she became UFC champion and we had a transgender women's champion? It's a very socially difficult situation. But she says, if the UFC happened to have hired Fox, then yes, she would fight her. But on her own personal opinion, she would not fight her just because. That is what Ronda Rousey is saying. But this is such a touchy subject, the M1 niggas. It just never goes away, and I don't think it's going to go away, to be honest. It's going to be something that's going to be debated and debated constantly.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, as far as Mitrione goes, you know, I don't agree with what he said, but I do believe he has the right to say whatever he wants due to the First Amendment. Like I said, I've been talking to you about this. You know, the minute you start punishing people for saying the wrong thing, now you start to cross the line as to whether we're a democracy or a dictatorship. You start to question whether we can start putting people in jail because they're jerks or they're rude. You know, like you start to cross a very fine line, and it's just very, very tricky. As far as the Fallon Fox thing, you're right. It's not going to go away until we create a transgender division, which is never going to happen because there's not enough transgendered fighters. You know, so... Yeah, I don't know if it's going to go away. I wish it was as this has happened with many things throughout the hundred, you know, the last 100 years of human civilization. You know, and these are the types of subjects that don't go away, such as abortion. Abortion, for example, mm-hmm. That argument has been around forever. There's been Supreme Court cases and everything, and it still doesn't go away. And this is exactly what this is. It's one of those subjects that it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says or an athletic commission. People have their opinions, and they don't care what the Supreme Court says about it or right. What the Athletic Commission says about it. They have their opinions, and you can show them as much medical evidence as you want, but these are not rational, well-thought-out decisions that people are putting out or opinions. These are all emotionally-based decisions, and when you make emotionally-based decisions, you know, there's no accountability. I mean, so I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with this.
And I don't know what's going to happen.
All I can say is there's no right or wrong answer. You know,
right.
Really, the right or wrong answer depends on who's in power at the time. You know, that's all it is. Whoever's in power at the time, whatever they believe, that will be the right answer for that moment. I mean, the same thing happened, like I said, for hundreds of years. Back in England, you know, when the Protestants were in power, they would persecute the Catholics. When the Catholics were in power, they prosecute the Protestants. Same thing here. You get some person out there who leads the Athletic Commission and is pro-transgender, they're going to allow it. You get some religious sort of person who doesn't believe in transgender, then they're not going to allow it. So, yeah, there's no right or wrong answer here.
There really isn't. It's not going to go away. We're going to have to live with it. But it is what it is. Let's just see what happens May 24th because Fox has been given the license and she will be fighting Alana Jones. And may the best girl win. That's all we can say.
Like I said, the ideal thing would be let's create a transgender division for guys that are now girls. But, you know, that's not going to happen. I mean, how many situations do you get of guys becoming girls that want to become fighters? You know,
it's not going to happen.
And by the way, the article, girls that become guys, create a division for them.
not the same division that Fallon Fox is in, because that's a guy going to a girl. But right. It's just not going to work.
It's not. You know, but Rousey did speak in this article, and it's completely different. She did say that in her judo days, when she used to compete in the judo leagues, she would she has fought or competed against hermaphrodites. But, of course, that's a whole different level. That's not something that they chose. It's just the way they were born.
Yeah, it's not a choice, right. Yeah.
You know, it's not the other way they were born. It's just when they came into this world. But needless to say, again, we will find out what happens May 24th at CFA 11 as Fox and Jones will go up head-to-head. I believe that will be the co-main event. But I know they're working on the fight card, so we'll keep you posted on that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're now going to welcome Jason Ellis, our good friend here, to the Roman Show. He is speaking on behalf of his client, Jason Ribeiro. Jason, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thank you for having me, guys.
Awesome, man. Well, Jason, tell us a little bit about Davison. He has a pretty much lengthy here resume when it comes to MMA, and he's fighting at XFC 23 against Zach Underwood, which we had here on the show. Very nice guy. But this is a guy who's been training in Brazil, came to American Top Team.
Correct.
And
correct.
Tell me what...
He's been training with Luis Sapo Santos.
Which is also on the fight card, ironically. So tell me about Ribeiro so people can know about this man and what can we expect from him on XFC 23?
You can expect fireworks, that's for sure. I mean, the kid's very explosive, well-rounded. You know, he's a brown belt in BJJ. You know, I don't know anybody that, you know, if you can spend 8 hours a day at Coconut Creek preparing for your next opportunity when you're fighting and come home and sleep at night and have no injuries and consistently do it, then I'd say that, you know, you have to be a tuned athlete to be able to put your body through that, you know?
Now, knowing that, when did he arrive here to the States from Brazil to train?
He's actually never went back to Brazil, after his last fight up in January. He was in Brazil for his last camp, and then he came for a bout in January. And, you know, he fought out of his weight class. Didn't go our way. But, you know, he made a statement in that bout and impressed, you know, John Prisco, where he extended an offer, and now he's a contracted fighter with the XFC.
Now, this kid is only 24 years old, and he has already over 30 fights. That's impressive.
Correct.
That's very impressive.
I think
such a young age.
This kid, you know, people are going to get another chance to see how special this kid really is. You know, he works hard, you know, in his efforts, you know, when he steps in the cage, people will see his resilience and his efforts, you know, in time and preparation that he puts into it to be able to compete, you know.
So aside from the
fight. I don't know if this speaks for itself. I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but when he was in Brazil, you know, he used to ride a bus over 2 hours to go to the gym to be able to train, and ride 2 hours back in order to get home. And he would do that every day. Now, if that's not nice. Doesn't establish or demonstrate your drive and your willpower and ambitions to be able to achieve success in mixed martial arts, I don't know what else does.
That is dedication, and we've heard several stories just like that. And as far as these kids, the sacrifice that they do. Now, this is a guy that, aside from fighting in Brazil, his native country, he's fought in places like Bulgaria and across the world.
Most of his fights were in Brazil. But, you know, now he's in the States, you know, and like I said, he's got this opportunity, and we're going to make the most of it. You know, I'm not overlooking Zach Underwood at all. Like, I'm very familiar with him and his brother Jake. They're both tough country boys. You know, and I think that people can expect a very entertaining fight, you know, come next Friday night, April 19th.
And has he adjusted to the way of living here in the United States, Ribeiro?
Yes. Yes, he has. You know, as far as I know, I mean, from when I speak to him, the only problem is I don't speak Portuguese, so I actually have to speak to somebody that's like a sibling to him, and they translate for me when we talk by phone. So... But I need to sharpen up all my skills when it comes to that so I can speak to him more directly instead of having somebody translate for me, you know?
So no coach or chalk on his end?
No, not at all. He's ready. He's ready to get in the cage next week and put on a show.
And as you said, that after his last fight, he has he just decided to stay here in the States.
Correct.
And the interest of American Top Team, can you tell us how he arrived to that camp and what interested ATT to bring him on board?
You know, he was actually already with American Top Team when him and I met. So I don't really have all the clear specifics of that situation. But he was a part of American Top Team when him and I met, and then he became a member of Relentless Sports Management.
Gotcha. Well, you go. And I know you guys are have some great talent coming out of your camp. So, Jason, we want to wish your client there, Ribeiro, good luck. XFC 23, April 19th. You can catch it live on Access TV next Friday, April 19th. Jason, thanks very much. Anything else you'd like to add?
You know, I'd like to thank, shout out to his sponsors real quick, Throw Punch IND, Lexani, RBP, Rolling Big Powder, Pro Fight Supplements, and then he has some other sponsors on board with him from Brazil that I don't know how to pronounce, so I don't want to say them and embarrass myself by disrespecting them, saying pronouncing my name wrong. But, you know,
no
the
worries.
Companies and all the people that do support him, you know, support people from support Davidson and his ambitions and his dreams, you know, we definitely appreciate the support. And tune in Friday night, next week, April 19th, co-main event. It's going to be an entertaining one.
Awesome. Well, Jason, thanks so much, man, and good luck to your client again, man. And hope to have you
right,
soon on the show. Thank you. Have a good night.
Have a good one. You too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Jason Ellis there representing DVC Ribeiro. Very impressive, Guillermo. Over 30 fights and only 24 years old. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and he started off his career when he was 17 years old. And you find with Brazil, you know, a lot of people ask, why Brazil? Why are they the ones who come out with, why that country that comes out with so many great fighters? And why do they have so many young, great fighters who get so many fights? And it's out of necessity. Brazil, as far as the world is concerned, is the one with the biggest difference between the rich and the poor. There's really no middle class. And the rich are like 10% of the population, and the poor are like 90%. So it's really out of necessity. These kids have nowhere else to go. A lot of them fight just to survive to the age of 17. And, like, they need these martial arts just to keep them alive. And really that's what ends up making great fighters. They're hungry. They're hungry to change their lives for the better. They're hungry to survive. They're hungry to provide for their moms who sacrifice a lot, you know, just to have them get this far. And so this kid is another one of those people. Started off when he was 17. He's got a lot of fights. He's fought a lot of those other hungry kids growing up in Brazil. And, you know, that's led him to this spot, the big opportunity to come to the U.S. and change his life for the better and hopefully for all the people he knows back in Brazil. So this is a very familiar story. You've heard this from so many fighters that end up making it in the sport. Oh, the sad story about death and being poor and favelas and having to sacrifice for training. And the only reason that they make it is because some, you know, generous guy like Nogueira or like, all these other teams that are down there end up taking them in, letting them sleep on the gym floor because they can't afford to pay gym fees, you know, and all this. Like, literally, it's that generosity that has led to this growing sport and all these kids and all this talent come from Brazil.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And you mentioned about the favelas and how horrible it is up there. And listen, it's so bad the police won't even go in there. That's just how tough it is in that neighborhood. And you're right. You know, their way of survival is through fighting. And it's good. It's a good way that they're turning fighting into something positive, into making it into a financial way to help themselves when it comes to their lives. And family is very important, just like in every country, but in Brazil, they're very family-oriented to see these guys, to put themselves on the line and support their family through fighting. And look, if it ain't soccer, it's fighting. That's the way it is in Brazil. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. With the family thing, you're absolutely right. Every time, I've noticed, every time a Brazilian makes it big in like the UFC or something like that, and they earn like a big bonus, they always ask them, like Joe Rogan or somebody always ask them, what are you going to do with the money you just won? The first thing they always say, every single one of them, I'm going to buy my mom a house. That's the first thing they always say. They don't say, I'm going to buy me an SUV. They don't say, I'm going to go party. They say, right, I'm going to buy my mom a house. That really tells you a lot right there.
Very humble. They're very humble, very religious. And that's Brazil for you. In fact,
they're always thankful.
Are...
They're always thankful for everything. They're always thankful to, you know, the first trainer they always had, the
yep.
trainers who gave them a chance, their training partners. They're thankful to their opponents. They're very humble. It's a great culture to come from.
Yeah, it is. It is. And if I'm correct, Brazil is the has the largest Catholic population in the world, if I am correct, from what I understand. Could be wrong on that, but I believe it is. If not, it's one of the countries in the world that has a large number when it comes to Catholic. But with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to welcome Barb Hanchak, who just defeated Vanessa Porto at Invicta FC. She is now the new 125-pound champion. Congratulations, champ. Welcome to the Roman Show.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us here this evening and taking some time. I got to ask you, how did you celebrate the victory?
Afterwards, we went out. I went back to the hotel, and I met with some of my teammates and some of my friends and went down to the Flying Saucer in the Power and Light District and had some dinner and just hung out with some friends for a bit.
That's a good way to just relax. Now, bringing a title back to the Miletic Fighting System camp, obviously it's run by the great Pat Miletic, which in that camp they were familiarized for bringing in a lot of gold. But how does it feel, and what was the welcoming when you brought this title to the camp?
It's been awesome. The guys are all very excited because they know, you know, I did bring that title back, but every single one of them helped me get there. So, you know, it's all of our title. So it's bringing a world title back to the entire team. You know, it's pretty awesome. And I think it has all of them fired up right now. There's a whole lot of drive in the gym at the moment. So it's really cool. It's really, really neat to be able to do that.
So you're definitely setting a trend here, motivating everyone pretty much when you brought that goal to the camp.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. I think it definitely motivated the entire team.
Now, it's amazing how you went out there because you are originally from St. Louis, from Missouri, and you went to Iowa to train. And explain to me how you got there because, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, your husband got a job in Iowa and it just so happens that you wanted to train out here in the camp. How did that story come about?
So my husband finished school and he was job hunting. And the one thing that, you know, we sort of knew we had to do is wherever he was looking for jobs, there had to be a good camp nearby for me. So he was looking in locations like Coconut Creek, Florida. He was looking in Denver, Colorado, Albuquerque, New Mexico. And then a job popped up. It was actually in Galesburg, Illinois, which is this little tiny, you know, small town kind of in the middle of nowhere. And I sent out a Facebook thing just asking, you know, anybody from Galesburg, anybody know good gyms out there? Not even thinking about the Quad Cities and Pat. And it was Sarah Goodlaxon, another fighter, is actually from Galesburg, and she was the one that told me to go look up Pat's. So when he came out to interview for the job, I came up and checked out the gym and, you know, saw what was going on up there still, because it's been a while since we've heard that name in the media, you know. And so it's like, well, I don't know what's going on up there. So went out, checked it out, watched a few classes and was pretty impressed with what I saw and decided, okay, this will be a good fit. So my husband was offered the job and accepted it, and I knew where my new camp was.
Well, that is cool. And just to train, what was the first reaction when you met Pat Miletic and when they welcomed you in?
Pat was very welcoming. When I'd been training, I think I'd been there for around a month or something like that before I actually met Pat. At the time, he was so busy with Access that he wasn't in the gym a whole lot. And so I'd been there for a little bit, and I think he heard about me through Junior Hernandez, who is the acting head coach up there right now. But he was very welcoming, very, very open and very well-receiving. The guys, I think it took some of the guys a little bit longer simply because they had to get used to hitting a girl. You know, it was weird to them at first. Now I don't think they really look at me any different than they look at the other guys. But originally, I think that for some of them, it was a little bit awkward. to hit a girl.
Well, that said, though, you learned a lot from that camp. And it earned you a title, right? So come and Invicta FC Saturday, Vanessa Porto. She was a tough competitor. You mentioned, I read in an interview that she was a tough opponent because she's well known for her jiu-jitsu.
Because why? I'm sorry, what?
Her jiu-jitsu was very strong. She came into that fight. But explain to me this fight and the type of opponent that she was. Was she the toughest girl that you have fought so far in your career, you would say?
One of them. I still think Kat Zingano was the toughest person I've ever faced. My fight with Kat is still, I think, by far the hardest fight I've had. But Vanessa is definitely up there among the toughest people I fought. We never went to the ground, really. The whole fight was on our feet. Any attempts I made to clinch with Vanessa, grab her, take her down, she really didn't want at all. You know, she just wanted to stand and bang with me. So anytime I went to try to grab her, she pushed away and got out. And she ran for me when I was in on punches. She was out as soon as she could. So she really, it seemed like, didn't want to go to the ground with me, didn't want to tie up with me at all.
Gotcha, Guillermo.
Yeah, now, you know, you fought for Invicta now three times. Tell us about the difference for, you know, between Invicta, a promotion that caters towards women fighters, and the other promotions that you've fought for, and, you know, that experience for you, how much better Invicta is for you.
Oh, Invicta is the most professional show I've ever fought for. They've got it all together. They cross all the T's, dot all the I's. Every little detail from, you know, fighting the saunas to cut weight in, getting the hair braided, all of the commission stuff that we have to do, all of the medicals, they make it all as easy as possible. So really, all when we get there, you just check in, you know, sign up for what you need to get done. They have shuttles to take you here and there and everything you need. So once you're in Kansas City, the only thing you really have to focus on is making weight and fighting. They just make it very, very easy for us. It's awesome. They treat us so well.
Have you been notified yet when you might fight again and who that might be against?
No, not a word. Not a word at all. I, looking at the 25ers who are currently signed and who have fought and who have been winning, my guess is they're probably looking at Jennifer Maya for me, but, you know, that's just a guess. Absolute guess. I haven't heard anything from them. You know, for all, I don't even know if they mentioned it to her at all. So just a guess that I would imagine it's Jennifer Maya, but I have no idea for real.
How many months from now would you like to fight again?
I'm assuming that it'll be in the fall. Yeah, I think they'll probably have me take one off and then go in the fall. But, we haven't talked about it at all, so I don't know yet.
Now, the only losses you've had in your career were pretty much the top-notch people like Angela Magana, Kat Zingano, and back when you were an amateur, to Jessica Eye. Do you ever want to get vengeance on them, or you really don't care about vengeance?
Yeah, I don't really care that much about vengeance. I'd be more than happy to fight them again. Kat Zingano is basically a teammate to me now, so she's one that I really don't see that happening. She's gone up to 35, and I'm still at 25, and she's a very good friend to me, and I don't think that fight would happen again. But the other two, yeah, I mean, I would rematch either one of them.
So how do you think Kat's fight will be going this weekend against Misha Tate?
I think Kat's gonna do very, very well against Misha Tate. If I have to predict the winner of that fight, I'm gonna give it to Kat. I think she has the superior striking. She definitely has a superior wrestling, and she has superior jiu-jitsu. She's strong. She's very, very strong. So, if I had to look at it in any of the categories, I'm giving it to Kat.
All right. Well, Barb, back to you. I want to mention to you that prior or you still practice, you used to do horseback riding?
Oh, yeah, when I was young, when I was a kid, it was basically a horse that was put out to pasture. He was totally green. They put him out there like a cow. And my parents adopted him, and I tried to re-break him and rode him a bit. But, yeah, it was for fun. I wasn't extremely competitive. I did You know, when I was young, I did Girl Scout camps where we did competitive, like, barrel racing, pole racing, stuff like that, but just a little bit.
And now I understand that you have your full support from your family. Were they in attendance as well at this fight?
Yeah, my dad couldn't make it this time, but my mom was there, my stepdad and my sister were all there, and then I had a whole group of cousins that came out. So I had quite a bit of family out there.
Hey, how important is it to have your family there alongside in front of you while you fight? And do you find it more motivating than just your average fans just screaming and yelling your name?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, when I know my mom and my dad are watching, my sister's watching, it's like, you know, I'm not going to let somebody hurt me in front of my parents. You know, my mom, I know what a wreck she is anyway. When she watches, she's a nervous wreck, and so is my sister. So, you know, knowing that they're out there, it's like, oh, I can't, you know, don't elbow me in the face, not in front of my mom. You know, there's a little bit, yeah. a little bit of push to, you know, not let myself be put in a bad position. But, yeah, I love it. It used to make me nervous when I knew I had them watching, but now it's motivating. It is motivating.
Now, I got to ask you, since your husband is a nurse, you know, my fiancé happens to be a nurse, does it get a little annoying sometimes when he tells you, hey, you got this, you should maybe take this, or you should take that, or maybe you have this?
Yes, it's the icing. It's everything is iced and elevated all the time. He's, you know, I will train on an injury. I'll train on something that's swollen. I'll train on things like that. And he's usually all over me about, you need to take tonight off. You need to take tonight off. You need to take tonight off. And that's kind of where the battle is. And then I get home from training. And a lot of that, he works out at the same gym I train at. So he'll come in after his workout and watch. And if he knows I'm injured or something, it's, you know, that night is like, ice it, elevate it, ice it. And it's like, I can't get away without doing it, you know. So yes, I don't always like it, but he does take care of me. He makes me take care of myself, I guess I should say.
Have you ever gotten to the point that he just tells you, I told you so, because you were just hard-headed?
Oh, sure. Yeah. That's why I listen to him now, because I know when he's right, he's right.
Sometimes we just gotta be, you know, we want it so much, but they know. Hey, that's the reason why they went to school for, right? We gotta trust them.
Yeah, it is. My mom was a nurse too, so I've got two of them. But it's all But you know, he makes a great cut man too. So he's always in my corner, just in case. Yeah, he's a cut man for the team on all of our amateur fights, and he's been in my corner since my first amateur fight. So he's been my cut man throughout pretty much my whole career.
Now, do you see him nervous while you fight, or does he give you any motivation or any pep talk?
Yeah, he keeps my head right every fight. He's kind of like my psychologist on top of me, my cut man. He definitely helps keep my head right. He always slaps me before I go out in the cage to kind of wake me up and make sure I'm in the right place. But, yeah, you know, he does get nervous, but he doesn't show it. He's really good at hiding it and telling me later that he was nervous. yeah, he definitely helps me keep my head right and gets me ready for the fight.
Sure it is. Well, Barb, thank you so very much for joining us here this evening on The Roman Show. Anything else you'd like to add?
I want to say thank you to MFS, my coach, Junior Hernandez, and Pat Milicic, my conditioning coach, Josh Howitt, my manager, Brett Ashley, my husband, Tim, all of my sponsors, and that includes Throat Punch, Swole, 7AD, Palante, Combative Gear. I'm going to forget people. I don't have my list in front of me.
No worries.
All my sponsors, One Coconut Water, and Fight Soap. And I think that's everybody. If I forgot, I'm so sorry.
No. No worries. Well, Barb, thank you so very much, and congratulations again on your win as she defeated Vanessa there at Invicta FC to become the first 125-pound champion. Barb, thanks so much, and I hope to have you here soon again on the show.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Have a good night, Barb, and congrats.
You too. Mm-hmm, thanks.
Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Invicta FC 125 champion Guillermo Barb Hanchak. And now we're going to go to Mike King, who is scheduled to fight at CFA 11, May 24th. How's it going, Mike?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, awesome, man. Can't complain. You're on with myself and Guillermo Garcia on the other line. Well, we last saw you fight TFA 09 in January against Billy Garris, and you came out successful on that one. But here we are, May 24th. It's a big show, huge show. It's going to get a lot of national attention, Mike. Are you feeling that media attention that this show is getting by any chance?
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of Twitter, and then also the MMA Underground's got a, you know, the CFA's been, it's all over the place right now with the Fallon Fox thing, which is good for the CFA, and at the same time, you know, good for the fighters that are going to be on the card.
Now, knowing now that possibly this is going to be airing on national TV, does this just hype you up even more?
Yeah, I saw that. Lex McMahon, you know, is he's my manager from Alchemist, and he told me the fight's going to be televised, and I'll be one of the main cards, on the main card. So that's exciting to know that you're going to be on a national stage, and it's awesome. You know, it makes you train harder. And, you know, it's a great way to get your name out there.
Right now, I don't think it's the first time you were on TV, because you were a part of the World Cup MMA, and I think that was on pay-per-view, correct?
Yeah, that was my fourth pro fight, and that was a pretty cool experience to be able to fight for Team USA under Ricardo Liborio.
And what's going on with that? Because we had the gentleman that put that thing together, and we haven't heard anything since. I think that was last year, late last year. And they had this cool concept of, you know, teams from different countries facing each other in MMA. Have you heard anything from that? And will you be competing in that again?
Yeah, right now they kind of changed the format. What they're doing is tryouts, and then Dan Severn is the one that's promoting it now. Right now, with where my career is at, I'm not sure if I'll be competing with the World Cup again, because we're fairly certain, you know, not looking past anybody or anything, but if I can put together two more wins, that I'll be fighting in the biggest stage, you know. So that's the ultimate goal, and as long as I'm training and focusing on each fight and working day-to-day like I should be, I should be on the biggest stage, you know, fighting for the UFC here shortly.
Gotcha. Well, let's talk about this fight coming up May 24th. I know the fight card is still tentative. Have they found you an opponent so far? And if so, who is he?
Yep. I signed our bout agreement today. I'll be fighting Oscar Delgado.
Oh,
okay. From what I saw online, you know, he's 6-2. He's a power puncher, and he's got some pretty good striking. So I'm in South Carolina right now, working with Ray Thompson and Steven Wonderboy Thompson, and they're moving my striking game right along. I'm not really that worried about standing and striking it. It's something that I'm fairly confident now. And then also with my wrestling background or my grappling background, you know, I competed at the national level there, so I feel comfortable as a well-rounded mixed martial artist. It's going to be a great fight. Oscar's a great opponent for me. But I feel fairly certain that I'm going to come out on top.
Yeah, Oscar is coming. He has three fights. He's won three fights in a row, and they're all by knockouts. In fact, the last one he had was at CFA 10. Did you happen to see that fight against Brian Burke?
I did. Yep, I did. He rocked him early. Brian was still able to take him down. So, you know, It's a fight. You got to flow with the fight. If I have to take the fight to the ground, I'll do it. But working with Steven Wonderboy, you know, he's a UFC guy. Probably, you know, he was undefeated as a kickboxer for a long, long time. He went 67-0. And working with him, and if I can stand in there and bang with him, I feel confident that I can do that with anybody.
See, you feel confident about your striking, but would you go back to your bread and butter of wrestling too?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, a fight is a fight. You got to flow. You got to flow where the fight takes you. If I have to end up taking him down, I feel confident being able to do that. And at the same time, you know, I'm more of a Greco wrestler, which it has shown to be the strongest out of all wrestling styles used in MMA. So if I have to do that, I'll do it. But I honestly feel like my striking game is going to be just as good, if not better.
Gotcha, Guillermo.
Yeah, you know, Mike, throughout your career, you had an impressive number of quick finishes and bouts. Do you get more pleasure from the knockouts or the submissions?
I like to throw hands. I don't know why. It's been, you know, I've been boxing for a long time. Even as a kid growing up, you know, you get together with your friends. But I get pleasure out of knocking people out. It's you know, that's what the crowd wants to see. You know, this is a sport, but at the same time, it's entertainment. And the crowd loves to see knockouts. It's just what it is. What it is. So, you know, you want to give the fans what they want, and at the same time, you're knocking people out. You're climbing the ladder really, really fast.
Well, you've had a couple fights where they actually tapped out to the punches. I mean, do you enjoy it when the referee pulls you off, or when they actually themselves tap out to the punches?
I just like to win, man. Like, it's fun to know that I hit hard enough that they don't want to be in there anymore.
Gotcha. Now, you know, most young fighters, you know, whenever they get a submission victory, you know, especially when they only have so many fights, usually it's a typical armbar, triangle choke, rear naked choke sort of situation. But you've actually had a good array of arm triangles, kimuras, you know, darts, chokes, which you really don't see that often in a young fighter's career. Are you going to pull out a ruby and necktie next? What's going on?
Yeah, you know, I work with some of the best grapplers in our country. I mean, Ricardo Laborio, you know, world class. Marcelo Pereira, you know, multiple time world champion. Charles McCarthy, you know, these are guys that are bar none top, some of the top BJJ guys in the country. So being able to work with them on a consistent basis, my jiu-jitsu game has, you know, developed rather quickly. I started wrestling when I was 4 years old, so this grappling thing is something that I've just picked up really, really naturally.
Yeah, now, as far as CFA is concerned, you know, it's really, really good stage to be on because they have had some of their talent, you know, picked up by the UFC, which is obviously where you want to end up. But do you worry that it might be too soon, that you might not succeed in the UFC if you don't get a few more fights, or do you think you're ready now?
Yeah, I think I'm ready now. I think I could take a fight, and depending on this, you know, obviously fights are stylistic, so depending on the fight, I feel comfortable fighting at that level.
Yeah, because one of our friends of the show, Yoslandi Skiddo, was the champion over there at CFA, and he got the opportunity to go to the UFC and boom, lost two in a row and was right out of there. So, you know, hopefully you're ready because you don't want to blow that opportunity when it comes, obviously.
No, you know, it's about taking the right fights. And what, I mean, it's about being ready to fight too. You need to be training every day. So you're growing, you know, if you're not a completely different fighter, fight to fight, you're not doing the right things in between fights, in my opinion.
Now, Mike, knowing here that you're coming into CFA 11, but you have a cool way how you got involved into MMA is, from what I was reading that you were tricked into getting into mixed martial arts.
That's exactly it.
How did that story go?
I had a college football coach that knew that I had a really good wrestling background, and he decided that he was going to talk me into doing boxing and kickboxing on the off seasons to keep my cardio up for the upcoming football seasons. And then as soon as I graduated, he basically threw me to the dogs, put me in my first MMA fight, and it's history from there. I had no idea it was going to happen. He took me to this place. He's like, hey, you want to go watch some fights? And I'm like, yeah, of course. I showed up, and I was on the card.
Just like that. Now, so you were in football. What position did you play? And
I played outside linebacker, yeah.
Outside linebacker. Now, was this in college or in high school?
College.
College. And was your goal at that point to pursue a professional career in football, in the NFL?
Yep, I was an All-American in college, and I actually had a couple pro days with a few teams. So it was something that, you know, I aspired to do ever since I was a child. It didn't end up working out, but, you know, things happen for a reason, and I believe, you know, this was my destiny, so I'm happy to be where I'm at, and I don't regret any of the choices I've made.
But what do you think for some of these NFL guys? Who do we have recently? I can't escape from memory right now. But some of these football players that do make that transition to MMA, do you think they would be good mixed martial artists? Because at the end of the day, they are athletes.
Yeah, I mean, NFL players, in my opinion, are the most powerful in terms of all athletics. So if you can put together if you can get the martial arts side of things together and then put that power behind everything that you're doing. I think it's, you know, obviously college wrestling is going to be the best background to come from. But if you come from a football background, you're going to be way more powerful than everybody else.
Yeah, Herschel Walker is one that just popped into my head. Now, I understand that.
When you see Matt Mitrione fight, how powerful is that guy? One punch knockout power. He moves well and he covers a lot. He covers distance, you know, because he's so powerful.
And I understand now that in football, especially in college football, they're bringing some of the workouts of MMA into their workouts. They're no longer heavy lifting or anything. Like just more of these core exercises that makes martial artists practice in their training.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of dynamic movement. MMA is all about dynamic movement, and all training in general has moved away from like the bodybuilding style of training into dynamic, you know, total body movements. Not only do you become lighter by, you know, you burn more body fat, but at the same time you become way, way stronger than you would if you were doing bodybuilding stuff.
Now, on the side, since you said that at one time it was your dream to be in football, do you have any pickup games?
Oh, no, nothing.
Nothing at all? Not even just to play as for cardio's sake?
I'm focused on MMA. You know, I try to stay away from that kind of stuff just because of injury.
Gotcha. Now, sorry about that. Going into CFA 11, what can you promise fans?
It's going to be an exciting fight. Oscar, you know, he's a tough guy. He's definitely a game opponent. But you come and watch. There's going to be fireworks, and I know for a fact that I'm going to come out on top.
Now, you said you're training up north, but you're still training with American Top Team, right?
Yeah. What I'm doing is I came up here to work specifically my stand-up game. At the same time, I'm getting, Wonder Boy ready for his UFC fight on May 25th. And then what I'll do is I'll finish my camp at American Top Team, continue to work my stand-up, and then, get my grappling. I've already got a good grappling background, so I kind of took time away from that to come up here and work my stand-up, and then I'll go back and finish camp there.
Describe real quickly your preparation on your stand-up game over there. Describe it to me in a particular day.
We do three sessions a day here. Morning, we do a lot of conditioning because, you know, the more stamina you have in your legs, the more bounce, the more distance you're going to be able to cover, and also the higher pace you're going to be able to throw punches and kicks at a higher volume. So we'll do conditioning in the mornings. We do mitt work or pad work middle of the day, and then we actually spar four times a week here. So my timing and my distancing is going to be way better than it's ever been.
Well, looking forward to seeing you in action against Oscar Delgado, May 24th, CFA 11. Anything else you'd like to add, Mike?
Yeah, I'd just like to thank my sponsors, Herbalife, Forger's Fuel, Titan Tech, and CrossFit Redline.
Awesome, Mike. Well, thanks so very much, man, and good luck, and look forward to seeing you in action May 24th.
Thanks, guys. I had a good time.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Yep.
Well, there you guys. Mike King, Oscar Delgado. I'm really looking forward to that fight because Delgado is a knockout artist, and so is King. So who knows what's going to happen between these two come May 24th at CFA 11. Good fight card so far from what I've seen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Mike looked very impressive in his last fight against Billy Garris. Billy Garris had a lot of hype on him. And he just tore right through him, man. And not only did he tear through him, I mean, Billy Garris tapped out to the punches. And it was actually pretty funny because we were sitting cage side for that fight, and Billy Garris's family was, like, literally just behind us. They're like, go, Billy. And the minute he tapped out to those punches, man, they were down. They were down in the dumps, man. Mike just, you know, tore through him, bro. It was very impressive. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, sir, we are. Mike King, Oscar Delgado, May 24th, CFA 11. And as we get closer to that date, we'll be bringing in some more of the fighters that will be competing in that fight card. All right, turning on to news now before we get going here in the Roman Show. As you know, they're trying to save Olympic wrestling from the Olympics. And Dana White, in an interview, said that he's calling for the support of supporting wrestling, not only in the Olympics, but in high school as well. And he's calling out Bellator and Viacom to get together on this, to unite, which is pretty neat, you know. They might not agree on everything, but heck, you know, Dana White saying, hey, let's get together here, let's do something, and let's try to save this sport from the Olympics, which has been there since its inception.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, though, because, like, you know, a good majority of fighters, they come from this part of the world, like, you know, the United States and Canada are of wrestling background. And, yeah. You know, if you lose that background, you lose Olympic wrestling. That's the goal that most wrestlers come in with, like, apart from, of course, the state title and college, you know, championship. That big dream that you have when you're 8, 9 years old is that Olympic title. Now, you take that away, and maybe those, like, a good 40-50% of those wrestlers don't decide never to even try wrestling, you know, and then that lowers the number of guys that go through the state system and the college system. So you need to keep that dream up there. Because, like, the visible dream is the Olympics. That's the one you see on TV growing up. You don't see the state and the NCAA championships on TV that much. So, really, you got to keep that visible goal, the one that everybody can see, to inspire these guys to go out there and give it a shot. And, you know, even if they don't make it to the Olympics, you know, a state background, a college background is good enough to get you a decent MMA career going. It's very important for the sake of MMA to keep Olympic wrestling out there. Just because the number of wrestlers total, I believe, would drop by a good 30-50% if Olympic wrestling does not get brought back.
Very true. So hopefully we get to still see wrestling in the Olympics. Turning on to other news, there's a tragedy in amateur mixed martial arts, and it happened in Michigan. Felix Pablo Elochukwua, I believe that is pronounced, collapsed shortly after competing at an unregulated event on Friday, and he died at an area hospital. He was 35 years old. An autopsy was conducted on Sunday, and results will be available later. This gentleman who passed away was born in Nigeria but lived in Canada. He was competing in his first bout. He fought at heavyweight and was a decorated grappler on the local circuit. Now, after fighting the opponent mostly on the mat for 2 rounds, he reportedly was mounted in the third and took several strikes before the referee stopped the bout. He appeared fine immediately afterward, but deteriorated after leaving the cage and fell from a chair. A paramedic on site assisted him, and an ambulance was called. Now, the gentleman who passed away nor his opponent were required to undergo medical checks prior to the bout. And now, amateur MMA is unregulated in Michigan, which means safety measures are left to promotions such as Amateur Fighting Club, which held the event at an American Legion building. Now this puts a dent of the sport, because there should be regulations, and this is just not the only state that doesn't have regulations when it comes to amateur MMA. But, you know, we love the sport, but don't try to do it if there are no laws applied. You don't want to have what happened in this situation. You got to have some laws. You got to have some people that know what they are doing, because if not, this is what's going to happen. The poor guy lost his life because these guys did not have any prior medical report. If this would have been done in a proper way, perhaps this guy would have, at this point right now, still been living. But they went ahead because they wanted to possibly get a buck. And the poor guy lost his life. They left
I completely agree with you. I completely agree with you. Whether it's amateur or professional bout, all MMA fights need to be regulated, every single one of them. It's a very dangerous sport in the hands of the wrong people, you know, and, you know, it's not worth anyone's life. And any of these promotions out there, I mean, and I'm not talking about states that don't have regulations, but states that are regulated, if there are still companies out there doing unregulated fights, whoever they are needs to be held responsible for the deaths of these people. I mean, whether it's through civil lawsuits or actual criminal prosecution. If this is a regulated state and there's still some unregulated shows happening, hold them responsible. Shame on the states that are unregulated. Get that straightened out now. It's not worth anybody's life. And for those two or three states out there, New York being one of them, that still does not regulate MMA for its professional fights, well, you need to get on that too, because those fights are going to go on because the sport is growing. They're going to go on unregulated, and it leaves people being exposed to unnecessary risk. So New York needs to get over its whole political matter and get the sport regulated for the safety of the fighters. They're not going to be able to keep the sport out of the state just because they don't want to sanction it. It's going to happen, so get with it and at least protect the fighters.
Yeah, man, don't ruin these guys' dreams just because you don't want to regulate it, because you have these politicians who perhaps are getting paid by companies or certain individuals for not allowing the sport for whatever reasons. You know, regulate the sport. It's just like Guillermo said, it's a mainstream sport already. It's seen on TV. It's practiced around the world. I know people are even fighting for it to get on the Olympics. Let it go, man. That's it. It's over. Respect it. And avoid another death, just like this man right here who lost his life because of pure ignorance of these people not regulating any rules and allowing this thing to go on without any proper medical reports. And for that matter, this guy lost his life. In fact, I'm looking here at a picture in the Toronto Sun. It's actually on the main page of this man who lost his life because of this promoter who just wanted to make a buck. And then the NDA, at the end of the day, the poor man lost his life. Very sad story. Let's regulate this thing. It's a sport. It's here to stay. You're not taking it away, man. Those 2-3 states that don't approve of the sport, get with it. 2013, MMA is here, and it's not going anywhere.
I was just going to say, I mean, when you have these unregulated events, like, you really got to wonder what's going on. For all we know, they could have pulled the ref off of the street and stuck him in there as a ref, and then this guy just wants to see some blood, and he lets the fight go a little bit too long, and then the guy ends up dead. We don't know if that's what happened, but it's very possible when something's unregulated. You know, for all we know, the ref could have had a couple drinks right before the fight. His reaction times were slow. We don't know, because there's nobody to hold these people accountable. That ref, he's not going to get fired by some sanctioning body, because there isn't one. You know what I mean? So it's absolutely, there's no accountability. The only person who ends up suffering is the fighter. It's not the promoter unless there's some civil or criminal liability involved. So that's where they got to go with this.
Very sad. Sometimes, you know, it's sad to say, but sometimes someone or some things have to be sacrificed. And in this case, this poor man's life was sacrificed to possibly regulate the damn sport in this area. Very sad. My condolences to his family. All right. Nate Diaz has parted ways with Cesar Gracie. According to Cesar, he says that it's just too much. It's overwhelming to manage both the Diaz brothers and train them. So he said he parted ways. Honestly, I'm not buying it, man. I really don't buy the fact that he says it is just too much for him to deal with.
Well, I mean, like, he's still their trainer, but he's just not their manager anymore. And the problem is, like, every time that the Diaz brothers either say something stupid or don't show up to a press conference or whatever, Nick didn't have to deal with it. It's him. You know, he's the one who's got to answer to Dana White why Nick Diaz missed a flight, why he didn't show up for whatever, you know. And he's already got, like, dozens of fighters that he's got to train and manage without having to deal with all that drama. So I could understand if it was, Caesar's decision, you know, because, like, the Diaz brothers are a lot to handle.
Yeah, they are. They certainly are. All right, moving forward, we're going to end up tonight's show with Bellator. Bellator now has announced that their summer series will return, and it's not going to be a 3-4-man tournament as in the past. It used to be an 8-man tournament. Now it's gone down to a 4-man tournament. And King Mo is expected to return in that tournament. And by the way, they broke records on Spike TV. So a good thing there for Bellator. It's going to stay. It's not going anywhere. And soon they're going to be showcasing their reality show with Frank Shamrock and Randy Couture serving as coaches. Lastly, final note, let's talk about the Ultimate Fighter 17 finale, Faber versus Jorgensen. What can we expect from this show, Guillermo?
Well, it is kind of interesting. Jorgensen actually was got in the MMA because Uriah Faber recommended him to get in MMA. Jorgensen was a decorated wrestler, and Uriah actually introduced him to the sport and got him into his training camp and got him his first few fights in his career, and they trained up until a couple of years ago. So it's kind of like a friend versus friend sort of fight. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes because they both know each other very well. But I would expect Faber to win that fight. I mean, he always wins fights that are non-title fights. He just loses the ones that are title fights. And I don't think Jorgensen's on his level.
Hello, Guillermo?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
Okay, lasted for a minute. All right, well, I mean, well, we're going to see what's going on. And then we got the Misha Tate fight with Zingano. That's going to be a good one, the winner of that. Will then be coaching the Ultimate Fighter the next season alongside Ronda Rousey. Good stuff. Although Tate did say that if she does win, they better have some birth control pills, is what she said.
No, we talked about that before.
I'm just quoting her. And just like Shamar said, you know, it's going to be literally like the real world. But we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see what happens. It's going to be fun. Good stuff. All right, guys, follow us on Twitter at RomanDH and like our fan page, facebook.com/RomanShowMedia. Lastly, make sure you listen tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m. We'll be talking wrestling, news, current events, sports, and we'll be reviewing, as I mentioned, WrestleMania 29. And we're actually going to have the designer of the WrestleMania 29 stage. The actual people who created the stage, and I'm sure you saw Guillermo because you saw WrestleMania 29, but they had a Statue of Liberty above the ring. So the people who are in charge of creating that whole thing, the whole setup with the Brooklyn Bridge and the Empire State, they're going to be tomorrow on the show to discuss how long it took them and how much it cost, because I'm sure it's a whole lot of money, man.
Yeah, I mean, WrestleMania, the whole look of it was fantastic. I wasn't very impressed with actual fights, how they went, but otherwise it was a pretty good show as far as the production and the whole setting up of the whole thing.
Yeah, well, we'll find out details tomorrow how that whole thing happened. Well, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Catch us next, next Wednesday. We will not be on the air. We'll be on Thursday, actually, Guillermo.
We'll be watching the Marlins lose next Wednesday.
Yes, we will be wearing some paper
brown
bags
paper bags over our head.
Yes, in support of our failing Miami Marlins. That's what we're gonna happen next week. And by the way, we want to give a special shout out to Vita Coco. Instead of drinking just plain old water, make sure you drink some Vita Coco, full of nutrients, and you're gonna be hydrated. Good stuff. I love it. I drink it on a regular basis. And also, shout out to Full Contact Fighter, which, by the way, Guillermo, I haven't mentioned it yet, but it seems we are getting close. The show, the Roman Show, is not only going to be a Blog Talk Radio, but we're going to have a new home, and that is Full Contact Fighter. That's FCFighter.com. Let me tell you about Full Contact Fighter. It was established in 1997. And it is, not the self-proclaimed, because it is, the original undefeated MMA news source. Why? Because they were, before MMA Junkie, before Sure Dog, before Bloody Elbow, Full Contact Fighter was the site. They were actually, the story goes, the creator of the website, which actually, Full Contact Fighter is a brand. It's a brand of t-shirts and gloves and so forth. But in New York, they would pass around little magazines back, you know, early in the day, in the 90s, about mixed martial arts and martial arts in itself. And it was Full Contact Fighter, and then it went to the web. But now the Roman Show, we're getting closer, will be on Full Contact Fighter starting next week. So that's going to be good for us.
We won't be on next week. Well, the wrestling show will be. But
We'll possibly be on Tuesday. But that show will then be listened to on full contact fighter. So we'll be on Blog Talk, but fans of full contact fighter that go check their resources will now be able to listen to us on this website on a weekly basis, which is good because the amount of traffic that that website gets, it is enormous, and it's just going to increase our listeners, and we're going to welcome some new people here on the show. So we're growing little by little, and the cool thing about it, Guillermo, is we aren't even 2 years old yet. How you like them apples?
Yeah, man, like I told you, you know, like our principles when we started the show, you know, was to provide, you know, breaking news in a professional manner, you know, and not like selling out to anybody. You know, we weren't just going to kiss up to all the fighters. We were going to ask them the hard questions because that's really what the fans want to know. We're not just here to say, oh, you're a great fighter and I'm sure you're going to win. You know, if you lost, I want to know why you lost. And if you lost, I want to know that you're trying to make it better and that you want to make this sport better and you want to bring excitement to the fans. So that's what we try to do every week. We try to bring the real story out, and we ask them the hard questions, whether they like it or not. And hopefully they respect us for that. You know, so, you know, that's why I think we've been so successful so far. And I think that's what's going to help us grow into the future. And hopefully we can make a big splash.
We hope so. And again, like Guillermo said, you know, we're not afraid to ask the questions, and you get to know who the fighters are, those things you don't know about them, instead of, you know, the simple general questions that you listen to. Well, with that said, again, like our fan page, Roman Show Media, that's on our Facebook, and at Roman DH on Twitter. Good night, guys. Catch you next week.
What's up? This your boy, Kimo Slice. And if I got one thing to say about these amateur fights, not only did I have a good time tonight, but I want everybody to know you got to keep watching with Dolph Roman. If you keep your eyes upon that man, you'll be all right. You'll know what's going on. So stay hip to Dolph Roman. This your boy, Kimo Slice, 305, and we out.